Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, I'm from Blog Talk Radio Land. This is your host, Minister Von Dimmon, and I'm coming to you just reminding you that Jesus is love, and he gave his very best for each and every one of you. All the things that is going on in your life, you're happier and you're, everything seems to be just crystal clear, and you can see through those dark clouds now. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. You're getting over that period where you felt like that there was, you were alone and maybe no one was listening to you or hearing your cry, but now you can see the top of the mountain. You're feeling pretty good, and that's all because of the gift of God's love. That's because of the gift of his comfort, of his mighty touch. And then to those who may have be in the middle of a decision that is not playing out the way that you thought it was going to plan out, or maybe family has turned their back or closed doors on you, or broke promises that you were relying on, or whatever it may be, just remember that these are hiccups in life, and don't let the little hiccup just stop you or discourage you. Don't let it turn away your love for your family member or that friend or whoever it may be right now. But speaking in particular to situations that we talked about tonight on a personal one-on-one basis, and you know who you are, be strong even through these situations. And, you know, sometimes when we think that we have the right door open for us and that's the pathway that we're going to go, God has other plans for us, and he has always a way of escape for you. So there's always a way of escape, and you are not alone. And you're not going to just be hanging out there, but you have to make that decision, especially being the head of your household. You're going to have to make that decision that for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you may not know all the details of what that means right now and why you even need to be on the Lord's side. Why would you even need to make changes in your life? Besides this little hiccup in life, everything seems to have went okay for you. But it's just not for the troubled times that you need Jesus. You need his love and his comfort. You need his protection over all the times in your life, every minute, every second, every hour of your day. It depends on him. And we have to make sure that we are choosing the right things because, believe it or not, everyone doesn't like you. Believe it or not, everyone is not for your, on your side or for you to make it and succeed. So there are elements in this world that you cannot control. There are different elements in this world that the choices that you make puts the good or the bad in control of your life. So direction is one of the reasons is what you're looking for right now, directions. It's a lot of good ideas and good intentions, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So there are your good intentions of being a good person is just not enough. But there's a gift that's been given to you, and it's eternal life, and it's direction right here in this life. Direction down the pathway of give you true righteousness. And once you become in that relationship with Christ, and where you're listening to him and you're communicating with him in a way that he can tell you and show you, this is the way, my child. This is the way for your family. And it'll avoid it. You know what? When people disappoint you, you'll be able to keep on moving without even worrying about it because you know I got the right directions. I know that God's going to make a way. Same God today, same God yesterday, same God tomorrow. And we'll know that we're going to make it. So he gave us our very best. God gave us his very best when he gave us his son. John 3:16-17, again, quotes, "For God so loved the world that he did what we're doing right now in this Christmas season as we remember him." He gave. It's just that he gave us his only begotten son. And he said, "I'm giving it to all of us." So whosoever, that's you, that's your wives, that's your girls, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is what you're wanting for your family. You want peace. You want harmony. You want to be able to for them to succeed. Is that correct? then, you know, when you tuck your family in at night, you should be at the head of your household praying a little prayer over them, praying something with them, teaching them about the Word of God. And in this series, we're just talking about that very best and how Jesus and how he was his upbringing and his thoughts and just how he set examples for each and every one of us. And that we ought to follow those examples if we want to be more like him, more like Christ, which makes us Christians is what we call it. So Jesus excelled in wisdom, and he sought for oneness with God. And that's the O-N-E-N-E-S-S, a oneness with God. He wanted it to be no separation between him and his Father. And we have to do the same thing. We know that we do that with our families. But we have to know that God is the head of everything. And so we have to be in a place where we want to have a oneness with God. See, I come and do this show every night because this is what I was called to do. I was called to teach, and I was called to preach. And if other things may come through and come up in my life. And tonight I didn't get off of work until about 9:30, and then I really needed to stop by the store and get some things for tomorrow and get here to do the show by 10:30. But I did not know. The enemy said, just cancel your show for tonight. But God said, I got time. Time is something I give for your behalf. You know, so it's not something that God is sitting there looking at a watch, oh, it's time here. He is in control of time. Time is just for our sake. See, eternity is not on time. So thanks be to our Heavenly Father, he provided. Of course, I was able to get in here at 10:15, get a moment to relax before it's time and open up the Word. And I've already studied for my Word, so I already do that. And so, hey, present the Word to you. So praise be the name of the Lord, because he's always there, always there, always making a way, and he has a way out for you. So to you that I was speaking to today in your service situation, God bless you. God keep you. Keep your strength. Keep everything. Keep your head up. Keep your head up, and everything will work out for you. Just don't rely on that one door and think that that was the only avenue. God has a way for you, but you have to come and surrender your heart, your mind, your spirit, your soul open to him. Open up your heart and just repeat that you love him, that you want him, that you believe him, and you accept him as your Lord in Jesus Christ. Invite him to come and live inside of you and cleanse your heart. And he'll do just that. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 said that you would be considered as a new creation in Christ, and that all of the old things will start to pass away. So the things that you are known for in the past will start to pass away. Behold, he's got some new things to show you. He's got some brand new ideas for you to get you all of those ideas and thoughts that you have down off inside of you. He has ways that he has already prepared, doors he's already opened. They cannot be closed, but he's waiting on you to just accept and come and walk through. It's just like taking the blinders off of your eyes when you start walking behind with Christ. Amen? Amen. This is a decision that must be made, and this is your time. This is your time. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. This is your time, my brother. Amen? Amen. And just know that I'm here not just in a manager role, but outside of there. You know what? We're sisters and brothers in Christ. Whatever I can do to help you, any literature that you would need, you can just send in prayer requests. WalkWithMeGod@AOL.com. Amen. 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 And so as we go on, we look at John 14:6, and we was reading that Jesus said unto him, I am the way. It's very important that we understand that Jesus is the way. There's so many different things out there that confuses us. And you say it's a little bit of good here and a confusion there, but always make sure that you confirm with God. And he will reveal himself and his way to you. And he does it right here in his word. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. We're looking for life. He said, no man, doesn't matter your race or your age or your wealth status, but no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So So that's why I invite you to invite him to come and live inside of you. You can't see the Father without seeing him. Amen? And then we went on to talk about that my sheep hear my voice. He said that I know them and they follow me. He also said, and I give unto them eternal life. See, not only do you have to prepare for what it is that your family is doing here on this side, because this journey is over, and we know not the day, the time, the hour that it's going to end, but it's a guaranteed fact it's going to end. Why not prepare your family for the eternal life? Don't do half of the other work. Make sure that you do a full job as a parent, each and every one of us. Hear me out there. Don't just think because your kids is grown, if you fail to introduce them to Christ then, it's not too late. You ain't going to beat them down and do all of this, but start living a godly life and spread them a little bit of joy into theirs every day. Every day, say something about the word. Tell them something about Jesus Christ each and every day. You may have to do it in a text message. If your kids are thousands of miles away from you, like one of mine is, you just have to, but you have to. I send out text messages every day. Thank goodness that my son is born again, and he's a new creature in Christ, and he knows the Lord, and he feeds off his words to get his strength to go through day by day. But we still encourage each other in the Lord. He said, I will give unto them eternal life, and they should never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now listen to this right here, my sisters and brothers. It said, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. So he's greater than cancer. He's greater than divorce. He's greater than rape. He's greater than obesity. He's greater than that diabetes. He's greater than them all. He's greater than that job right now that you're having problems with. He's greater than that job that you're waiting to find. He's greater than that position that you know you should have that you just they just passed it over to someone else. He is greater. He is greater. He is greater. He is greater. He is greater than them all. And then he says, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. And then he ends John 10:27-30 by saying, I and my Father, here we go, are one. I and my Father are one. So, and when Jesus ascended and left, he said, I leave you with the Holy Spirit to guide you, to be with you, to comfort you. So that's why we believe here at the ministry, try anointed, try for the Father, try it for the Son, try it for the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Jesus excelled in favor with God and with man. Let me just show you that. You know, we also never read about someone disliking Jesus when he was a young man. Even later in his life, the only people who didn't really like Jesus and, in fact, hated him was those that resented hearing the truth. Those were the only ones that really didn't like Jesus. They resented hearing the truth. And you go through that same thing right here and right now. Right here and right now. You know, I've heard some of the most weirdest, silliest things from people who never read the word. But somebody, somebody, and somebody, somewhere has told someone that it's okay for them to go out and get drunk because, you know, Jesus drank. He drank at that party. He was really drunk. Blasphemy. Ignorance. You know, and there are all kind of different things. Was, you know, well, Jesus is a woman, and Jesus was a woman, and not only was he a woman, I think he had a girlfriend. She had a girlfriend. God is a woman. Jesus is a woman, and they had... People will do anything they can to turn the word and make their own word. See, we all want to be our own gods in other ways. We want our words and our life and the weirdness that we're choosing to live and all the sinful things that we're doing, the twisted thoughts that we have. we want to take those and just put them into a book and bind it up and say, not this is my book that I decide to write according to the way I think life shall be lived, but we all want to turn that around and title that book as the most famous book in the world, the Bible. So we don't want to title it and say, well, this is John's thoughts or this is somebody else's thoughts, but we all want to lay it back to God. With God, because we know if we could get the favor of God, we know that we're right. We know if we could get in line with God, we know that we'll be okay. So we're not willing to make any changes to our life. So we just try to condemn and convince as many people as we can that what we are saying, what we are doing, how we are living is approved by God. That's why it's so important, my sisters and brothers, that you get your own Bible. That's why I send out Bibles to anyone who needs them. It's important that you get your own Bible. You read it for yourself. And as Jesus was when he was young, in the temple there, what did it say? It said that he was in the temple and he was listening to the scriptures being read, and he was listening to the scriptures being explained. Not only should you be a reader of the word, but you've got to be a doer of the word. And you want to learn how to do the word by listening to the preachers explain the word, by being in prayer with God as he revealed the word. Amen? So there's always going to be people around you that's going to hate you, resent you, because they do not want to hear the truth. Now, that doesn't mean you got to shove it down our throats and you got to consider yourself as you're on this high pedestal and you're looking down low at them. No, no, it doesn't. That's not going to help. It's not the wrath of God that compels a man to come and say, what must I do to be saved? In case you're mistaken that, it's not the wrath of God. It's not you are going to hell. It's not you are wrong, you are so low, and I'm so this. No, that's not what gets the man to turn around and see him, but it's the love of God that compels man to come to us as Christians saying, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to get the joy that you have? What can I do to get through situations with a smile on my face, even though I'm hurting in my heart? How do I get that joy? How do I get that comfort? How do I get those directions so I don't keep making the wrong mistakes over and over and over again? It's the love of God. The love of God. And a lot of times we preachers and teachers and leaders and apostles and epistles and prophets and prophetesses, we get that mixed up. We get that all mixed up. But otherwise, Jesus had great favor with men. And that started at a very early age. See, having the favor of men is a test of certain qualities. No selfish, ill-tempered, arrogant, or deceitful person can ever seem to have fine favor or secure himself in a mixed society. That wouldn't work. So for Jesus to have such passion and still find favor with his people as a young man in itself is a miracle. Favor will get you something money can't buy. Favor will also open up doors that you thought were closed, that you tried all other kind of ways to get open. It'll open doors so that you can fulfill your destiny, your dreams, those deep down dreams that you got inside of you that you're afraid that you're never going to reach. Some of you are still running after chasing those dreams, and you're like, I know I can, but it's every time I think I'm almost there, it doesn't work. Hey, you're not going to make it until you just bow down and surrender to God. So this is a dream that you put inside of me. So this is a vision that you placed inside of me. I ask you now to come. I invite you. Come live inside of me. Your spirit connects to my spirit. My dreams and visions live in my spirit. When your spirit, hallelujah, connects with my spirit, then my dreams can just burst open because you give me those directions. And now all of those doors will just start to fly open for you. And we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Amen. The people with Jesus, people actually were astounded by Jesus back then. And they're still astounded by him today. This is what happens when someone gets so close to God that they literally take on his attributes. It makes people not only look, but to recognize, not only just read, but to start to grow. When you get so close with God, thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, you start to take on his attributes. You start to speak like him. You start to find patience. You start to love like him. You start to be a giver. You don't worry about what you're going to get so much. You don't worry about how much you're giving. Oh, my goodness. The more you give, the more he'll give to you. You can't beat his giving. I'm so worried about everybody's trying to get this from me. What if every preacher was worried that you're trying to get the word to your time that you're so sacred of? That time was given to you by God. And everything that you ask for, you're not going to get it. You're not going to see it blossom. Things may seem to start work for a minute, but it's always going to turn sour for you. Because you've got to learn that all that you are, all that you have, all that you are to be, is to be shared with someone. Give, that it may be given back to you. Shaken together, overflowing, running over. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want my bosom to just be running over. People from every walk of life giving something to you, whether it's the word, what is time, what is favor, it may be money, whatever it is. You need the favor of God. Your bank account may be stacked, but without the favor of God, you don't have nothing. You're Mrs. Big Stuff. Who do you really think you are? You need the favor of God. You need to learn to excel with favor, not from just God, but man. I'm not trying to say please, man. The people were astounded. If we're living by God and trying to look at the examples of Jesus, we've got to become closer to God so we can take on his attributes. So people will not just look at us, but start to listen to what you're saying. You got something in you that God wants people to hear. He's got great pleasure out of Jesus. God himself got great pleasure out of Jesus. So much so that when he was baptized into the ministry, God shouted out from heaven that this man was his son. And that, whoa, he is so pleased with him. How did Jesus please God? The same way we please God, with our faith. And let's go back. Let me give you that scripture when God just shouted from heaven, this is my son for whom I am well pleased. That's Matthew 3:16-17. Jesus pleased his father. The same way that we please God, with our faith. But without faith, without that faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you looking for your reward? Do you believe that God is? He says, God is. Do you believe that God is a healer? Do you believe that God is a way maker? Do you believe that God is omnipresent? He's everywhere. Do you believe that God never leaves you nor forsakes you? Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us that we have to have faith to believe in those things. It tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. But with faith, we can please God. Don't you want to be pleasing to God? I just want to be pleasing to God. I want God to say, well done, my child. My good and faithful child, good and faithful child. I just want him to say, well done. Jesus was a diligent seeker. It says in Hebrews 11, 6 again, it says, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So that doesn't mean that just on Sunday morning. That doesn't mean that only when times are going bad. It doesn't mean that. But you got to diligently seek him, wanting to be close to him. You know how it is when us ladies, young ladies, it doesn't matter, and that guy is really liking you and he's courting you, we used to say. And, you know, he's doing all that he can. You're always on his mind. You know, he's at a point in life now that he can afford to buy you the nice diamonds that really glitter and glow and just, you know, the brilliant shine on it. Or it may just be to the point that you're just starting now and he can afford to give you a promise ring. But he wants to give to you because he wants to seek your attention and he wants to be close to you. That's the same way that we have to find a relationship with God. And that same feeling that you felt at that time when you met that guy, or he met you, that same feeling that you've been married for all these years and you still feel that way, or maybe throughout the marriage you didn't even feel that way and has grown into that, that same feeling is the same feeling that we get as we get closer and closer to God. So we continue to grow. So we have an opportunity as Christians to continue to fall in love with God, to continue every day to feel this feeling just like, whoa, I just can't wait to be with you. I just want to talk to him all day. I want to include him in my thoughts, in my ideas. When I'm speaking to someone, that I know that he's there with me. And if I get ready to reveal something that shouldn't be revealed, I can feel him as he said, no. I hear him. No, don't say that. No, don't say that. Stop from there. Don't go that way. Come back. See, he's a rewarder. Not only does he reward us eternal life after this one is over, but he rewards us common sense. And he rewards us with direction. He rewards us with stopping us from jumping in and falling over or every stumbling block. No, darling, let me lead you around in that one. For those who diligently seek him, Jesus was a diligent seeker of the Lord. And as a result of that heart-led pursuit, Jesus excelled in favor with God. God always notices the diligent seekers, and he rewards them. He sees you. He sees you. Sometimes he'd wake you up in the middle of the night, and he just, not that he don't want you to get your rest. He said, I'll make sure you make it through the day with not even knowing you missed it, but I just missed you. I just needed to talk to you. So you see, by force of nature, Jesus grew in stature. By force of curiosity, Jesus grew in wisdom. And then by force of passion for God, Jesus grew in favor. And Jesus pushed himself to excel, to become closer, more closer, and more closer. Now, I want to say something shocking. Jesus could have failed, but he didn't. Failed because of his love and his dedication to his Father and because of his pursuit of his own destiny. There's so many lessons to learn from the life of Christ, but I would say one of the best is the most simple. Look at God more than you look at yourself. Look at God more than you look at yourself. And when you look at God, instead of yourself, you start to make a lot fewer mistakes in life. Every day Jesus chose to set his eyes in the right place and then move forward. When you look at God more than you look at yourself, you're able to pass by those people who saying all that craziness, that nonsense, when you look at God more than you look at yourself. But this is how you excel in life, by looking at God more than you look at yourself. I've always said to myself, boy, stay small in your own eyes, and you'll complete your destiny and reach your destination. Don't let people pump you up or get you off. You'll get in trouble listening to people. Stay small in your own eyes. It happens only one way, by making God the biggest thing that you ever see each day. Not you. Not you. I talk to some people, and they're so in love with themselves that, oh, wow, I don't know how they're asleep at night. They just can't wait to get up the next day just to be with themselves. And it's all about them. And just I. But, you know, God should be the biggest thing that you see every day. In Matthew 6:33-34, Jesus said it best. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know this verse, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, he said, seek God first every day. You'll get what you want and need when you do it that way. And stop worrying about tomorrow so much by wasting your energy in fear of tomorrow. You just might forsake the things that you could do right now, today, to make things better right now. But you're so busy worrying about your tomorrow that you're missing opportunities today. You serve a God who's bigger than any problem you've got. And when your eyes are on him, you'll be inspired to live the life you were created to live. Staying small in your own eyes is it's a bit of wisdom that can change your reality of just what you're really thinking of yourself. I'm not talking about have a lack of confidence in yourself. No. But I'm talking about putting your greatest confidence in your Father as always, no matter what, putting him first before you speak in the midst of that argument, before you speak, put him first. Listen to him first. And as we close tonight, I promise you, when you get that order right, you're gaining the attention of both God and man. You start gathering the harvest from life. See, you're tapping to the favor you were meant to have. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 10:10. See, you've heard these scriptures. Now they're being broken down so you can understand to start living by these scriptures. It's your destiny to grow in wisdom and favor with both God and man, and to live with the life Jesus came here to give you. Only way you can begin to have it is by doing what he did, which is to just draw close to your Father, pursue his word, put him first. The word is like reading God's thoughts about life. That's what reading the Word is. You say, why are you so into this Word, into the Bible? Because it's like reading through the thoughts of God's life, the life he has for us. You're reading God's thoughts about our life, just about all of us. And it will give you just great wisdom. Every life that ever lived, God's thoughts about these lives is in this book. Interesting, guys. It'll hook you over and over and over again. Hallelujah. It gives you great wisdom. You got to realize that you and I are always on God's mind. Always. Whatever we're doing, wherever we're at, we're always on God's mind. But he doesn't only want to see you grow. He also wants to see us sow seeds of his word into the hearts of others so that they can grow too. See, this is why we preach, and this is why we teach and evangelize so much. This is why Jesus said, Mark 16:5, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Any of all believers to help others know Jesus, because he is the one the world celebrates at Christmas. He is the one that we're celebrating. He's the reason for the season. He is the one the world is celebrating at Christmas for the reason. He's very present. His very presence reminds us of God's great love for humankind. And his great love for humankind was so deep that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe him in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I know at the top of the hour, the top of the show, we went and we started with a little coming to Jesus. So if you did not surrender your heart, then here's your opportunity. Just open up your heart and believe. And if you say these words and believe it in your heart, you will be born again. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Receive me into your family of God. In your name I pray, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we thank you for another night, and we ask you to just continue to be with us, and we bless your holy name. Amen. Amen. If you just read those, if you just repeated those words, it's very important that you reach out and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. It's never too late to call. It's never too early to leave a message. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, my name is Minister Vaughn Dillman. And I broadcast live from San Antonio, Texas. Now remember, you have a brand new slate with God starting right now. Whatever you've done today in the past, we can leave it there. We can learn from it and move forward. So to each and every one of you out there, whatever time that you happen to be listening, just know you're special in God's eyes. You're special in my eyes, and God loves you more than anything else. You're always on his mind. I challenge you to just challenge yourself of the God's word every day. It may be when you tune into the broadcast here with me every night that you're deciding that you're going to open up the words and take down some of the scriptures that I'm giving. You're going to go back and read through those scriptures. Challenge yourself to be your best to communicate, pursue interest, an increase of your relationship with Christ. Well, okay, we've come to the end of another show. And God bless you, and may you have a wonderful night. And just happy birthday to James Marquis Dumas, who would have been 29 today. Gone but never forgotten. Mommy loves you. Good night. Bye-bye.